Yeah, I've been sharing this morning that it's been a wonderful, a long time in coming to have John be with us. So I just want to invite you just to take a moment to stop by his kiosk in the back and just learn more about family life. Some amazing stuff is happening, and invite you, encourage you to be a part. Well, happy Father's Day. It's been said. It will be continue to be said throughout the day, and it should be said, because this is a day to celebrate for many of us fathers, and so I wanted to say that to you. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Mario White, and I'm one of the guys here on staff, one of the teaching pastors, and play other different hats and play other different roles, but want to say welcome for being here on Father's Day of all days. And if you're a guest with us, just want to say thanks for coming, and just want to let you know today you've come at a pretty good time, because we just started a new series. It's not like you're jumping into something that's been going on for a long time and you're trying to figure out how to get into it, but we're right towards the beginning, and so you can kind of jump right in and join along with us. And so again, just want to say welcome and so glad that you're here. You know, we've been asking this question of is there a better story? Is there a better story that we can consider for our lives? Because the reality is that all of us live out of a story. There's certain narratives that we hold on to, certain stories, certain sentences even, that end up shaping our lives, and we end up living our lives as a result of that. I mean, for instance, there's a guy that I had a conversation with not too long ago, and his narrative, his sentence, if you will, is one of, I have done so much harm and damage to my family, to my friends, I've done so much that I don't deserve any external goodness coming my way. That's his narrative statement. That is his story that he has held on to. And of course, if that's the case, and maybe you find yourself in that same place today, that's what you're holding on to. And maybe you found, just like this person has, is that if there's no external place in which you can receive goodness, then you're left to yourself. And as we're left to ourselves, well, we're going to try to find ways in which to fill that deepest hole within ourselves, to fill that part of us that needs to be touched, needs to be healed, needs to have some sense of life and goodness. And so he's taken it upon himself, as many of us have in our stories, where we use alcohol, use any other kind of addictions, adultery, anger, anything to try to have some sense of life. And at some point, you have to ask the question, is that all? I mean, is that really the narrative that we have to hold on to? Is there a better narrative? And one of the things that we'll want to suggest this morning and throughout this series is that there's another one worth considering. That God might actually have something to say in the conversation. That God has a story that we might want to consider. And as we do, maybe we might find ourselves embedded in his story. Maybe we start to see ourselves in his story and find a truer, a deeper truth. A truer narrative that we can hold on to. And so we've taken a look at a book, we're starting to take a look at a book that is filled full of narratives, the book of Acts, to see the Holy Spirit in action. And last week we started this series by really in chapter 1. And in chapter 1 we find the centerpiece, Jesus himself. He's in his resurrected form, and he is about to ascend to heaven. He tells the people and the disciples that are following him, he shares with them some really important things and says, by the way, I got a gift for you that I want to give you, so stay and wait. And then after that, off he goes. Ascends into heaven. He doesn't get in the car and leave. He ascends, literally moves up into the air, heads out. The disciples are sitting there looking dumbfounded at what they're seeing. And they're kind of starstruck, and these angels come by and say, hey, what are you guys doing? And kind of breaks them out of their reverie, and they move out to a place in which they do what Jesus has told them to do. They hurry up, they make their way to Jerusalem, and they wait. Day one goes by, nothing happens. Day two goes by, nothing. Day three. And maybe if you're like the disciples, you'd be thinking, well, lots of threes kind of happen in Scripture. There's like the Father, Son, and Spirit. Jesus, I mean, his whole thing, he died and rose again on the third day. Maybe something's going to happen today. Nothing. Day four goes by. Five and six, and now it's coming close to this celebration, this wonderful day in which people are going to be coming to town. It's a holiday that's coming up. Likely these people that were in this room praying and waiting had friends and family members coming from all different regions to this place in Jerusalem. And yet time marches on, 6, day 7, day 8, day 9. And at some point asking the question, my goodness, is something going to happen here? I don't know about you, it's a hard thing to wait more than 3 minutes, but to be waiting day after day, especially when you don't even know what you're waiting for. I mean, here are these guys, these men and women, like, what's going to happen? I struggle waiting for more than a minute sometimes. I mean, especially in this realm of, I don't know if you've ever gotten these, but I had a guy that I was working with in the same office, and he forwarded me an email. And the email said, hey, you know, click on this link. And that's before, like, when you click on a link, your computer explodes. It was before that time. And the link just said, hey, click on this, go to the page. And when I got to it, the instructions were to turn up the volume. If you can't hear what's going on, turn up the volume. So I'm watching this thing, and I can't hear exactly what's going on. So I crank up the volume a little bit and still can't hear a lot. So I'm cranking it up more. And it's one of these pictures that's it's so picturesque, so serene. It's like in this European road, this car is driving down this wonderful wheat grass on the side as it's weaving through, and it's just so serene. I'm sitting there going, okay, 5 seconds is going by, 10 seconds is going by. I can't really hear the hum of the engine, so I crank it up as far as the speakers will possibly go, and 20 seconds go by, and what's going to happen here? It's a beautiful picture. I'm kind of calm inside. This is kind of nice. And then all of a sudden, if you've seen this before, this picture of something like a ghost pops up on the screen, and it screams out this horrific sound in the moment, blasting, because of course the speakers are all the way up, comes screaming through the speaker system at me, and my face is already geared to it because I'm trying to listen, and I just get blown back by what is I experienced in that moment. I'm screaming like a little girl as I'm like going backwards in my chair, and my friend is over there laughing his head off at me as I'm just like, should I punch him? Should I hit him in the face? I don't know what I should do in this moment. And who thinks of this stuff? I mean, who wakes up and says, I'm going to send somebody to the hospital today? I mean, this will be good. Maybe they'll end up on their deathbed. This will be a great idea to just horrify people. And that's exactly a little bit of that experience of time passing. This is where these people were. And that was only 10 seconds, 20 seconds for me. But these guys, men and women, were waiting for days, and then suddenly something happens. What we see in Scripture is that it says, on that day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly, Scripture tells us, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now catch this. It says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit had given them the ability. Well, we find ourselves as in Acts chapter 2, and this is how it begins. In this moment, as these men and women were waiting, suddenly something breaks loose. In this moment, God is doing something absolutely new to fulfill a dream, a desire that he had that was very old. And that is that he would draw people to himself. He was longing to draw people to himself, and he is doing it in a new way. Luke, the author of this text, the author of what we just read, is finding himself in a place of trying to describe what was going on. These people were so fantastic. How do we describe it? And he uses words that the people might be able to hold on to. Words like a windstorm, which echo back to the wind of the Holy Spirit. He talks about that, really, there's this idea, the symbolic idea of it being power. There's these words of talking about these tongues of fire that started to come. It was like a fire just started to sit on these people, signifying this purity that starts to take place. In fact, Luke, this author who writes this, also wrote a gospel called Luke. And in it, I can only imagine his mind starts to speak about that moment as he's trying to find a word. You see, back in the gospel of Luke, Jesus' cousin named John the Baptist was in an area starting to baptize people. Baptize them in water. And as he was, people started to wonder, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that's supposed to come? Are you the one that's going to come and save us from our sins? And John, in the midst of doing what he was doing, Scripture tells us that John answers their questions by saying, you see, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We see this moment of a windstorm. It's like a windstorm. There's something like a fire that took place in that moment. And while those symbols were so unique, so rich, what we find Luke starting to spend the rest of his time on is this what takes place as a result of that moment. These people start speaking in other languages. They start speaking in other tongues. The symbolic moment in which God is saying that I am a universal God. No longer am I the God of Israel, and actually he never was, but Israel tried to contain him, tried to hold him in, but he wanted to make it be clear that I am the God of the universe. I am the God of every nation, every tribe, every language. You see, that day of Pentecost was unique. A long time ago, way back in the beginning stories, back in this book called Genesis, there was a moment in which God had called the people to move out from where they were and start to rule and subdue, spread out throughout the land in chapter 11. But the people, I don't know if you ever found yourself hearing the voice of God and doing the exact opposite of God, but that's exactly where they found themselves. I've been there. I do it more than what I should. And here are these people, they hear what God told them to do, but they do the exact opposite, and they come together and they start to build this tower. It's been called the Tower of Babel. And as they are doing this very thing, God sees what they're doing, and he comes down, as the Bible says, and he says, look what they're doing. In their pride, they're building this tower. And so God comes down, and he confuses them by giving them a bunch of languages. And the people trying to talk to each other, building, they can't do it anymore, so they scatter throughout the region. And they do what God had told them to do, intended for them to do in the first place. Someone picks up on this realization of what happened in Babel and what took place in the day of Pentecost. And they said it this way, at Babel, human languages were confused and the nations were scattered. But in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, the language barrier was supernaturally overcome as a sign that the nations would now be gathered together in Christ. A taste of the great future day when people would be drawn from every nation, every tribe, people, and language. At Babel, earth proudly tried to ascend to heaven, where, as in Jerusalem, on that day of Pentecost, heaven humbly descended to earth. And as it descended, people started to hear. People started to hear these 120 people who were speaking in their languages. And Scripture tells us they start running towards this action that's going on. They start running because there's people from all over the region that have made their way to come to celebrate this festival, to celebrate this Pentecost from many different angles, many different places. And as they make their way in, they hear these men and women, 120 of them, speaking their language, speaking and praising God in their own languages. And when they get close, they see who they are. Galileans? Galileans are speaking our language? These unlearned men and women? You see, Galileans, they were known to be a little bit rough around the edges. They were known to not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. And yet here they are, proclaiming the good news in completely different languages, glorifying God. And the people, as they sit and listen to what's going on, they, after some time, some of them kind of come to a conclusion. They say, well, as crazy as this is, we can explain this. They're drunk. That's what's going on. And I love Scripture. You know, this, if you're new to Bible reading, I just want to tell you, the Bible is filled full of comedic moments. The Bible, I mean, it's flat out hilarious in moments. And this is one of those moments that's just so funny to me, because what happens is Peter, the leader of the 120 who are speaking out in these other languages, he gets the crowd to quiet down. He tries to get them to calm down so he can start to address them. And as he does, he's able to get them calm. And he starts to address them. He says, brothers, sisters, I just want to let you know, we didn't go to the local Jerusalem alehouse. That's not where we've been. I mean, after all, I know we're Galileans. I mean, we get that. We're Galileans, we get that. But come on, I mean, it's 9 a.m. I mean, seriously, I mean, even if we were to go, it's early. We're not drunk, okay? Just take me at my word for this. You see, what's happening in this moment is something so much more profound than us being plastered. What I want you to know is that this is a fulfillment of what God spoke about long ago. And Peter quotes the book of Joel in this moment. And he offers these words to explain what is taking place. He says that in the last days, quoting Joel, a prophet from long ago, God says, I will pour out my spirit, and here's the phrase, on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter takes a moment to quote Joel. And in quoting Joel, he is letting everybody know that God is pouring out his spirit on everyone. God is breaking out amongst everyone in this moment. You see, Peter was helping people know the kingdom of God is different. The way that the kingdom operates is different than the way the kingdoms of this world operate. That in the kingdom of God, there would not be this separation. There would not be these divisions between old and young. That in the kingdom of God, there is no separation, no division between men and women. There's no separation because of your nationality, whether you're a Hebrew or you're a Gentile. In the kingdom of God, God pours out his spirit on all flesh. And the people in this moment were dumbfounded. Absolutely dumbfounded about what was taking place. What is Peter saying in these moments? You see, this is the thing that separates Christianity from all other religions. There's many of them, but this is one of them. There's no caste system in the kingdom of God. There's no place in which we have to say that you're in a certain place that God likes you more because of. But God is pouring out himself on all people. You know, for some of us that come into this place today, you've walked in and you're asking that question, do I matter? Do I count? I know that for some of us, as we walk in, we have even that sense that we feel even sort of thin, almost ghost-like, just kind of moving through life without any meaning, without any purpose. And yet what we see in this moment is that God is pouring out his spirit on all people. In essence, God is saying, I see you, and you matter. I see you, and I value you enough to pour out my spirit into you. God, in essence, was giving humanity dignity, purpose, value, meaning. The very things in our core that we long for, God was fulfilling in that moment in which there was an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. And I love that it didn't just happen in that moment. You see, what Scripture says, what Peter chose to quote was a moment from Joel in which he said, in the last days. And folks, we're still in them. And God is still pouring out his spirit in this day, in this age. And I so love the moments in which I have a chance to speak to some of you that are older, that have lived longer than I have. And as I spend time with you to hear the dreams that God has placed on your heart, that you're still dreaming dreams. In the last days, God said he would pour out his spirit and old men would continue to dream dreams. And you do it in this day. And it lets me know, and it lets us younger people know this, that this thing is not just a destination, but following Christ is a journey that God continues to pour out. And he has something in store for our future. I think about young men and young women who have just made huge sacrifices in faith. They've had a vision from God and have chosen to move out. I have a friend who just chose to up and quit his job because he's had a vision of what God wanted to do in his life. He didn't even know what the next step was, but he knew that he could not stay in this place, that God had given him a vision and meaning and passion and purpose. So much so he said, I know what God is calling me to. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I'm going to step out in faith. And it stirs within me this sense that I need to be a person of faith. Kids, young women, young boys, your sons and daughters of what it says, they will prophesy, will speak the truth of who God is. And I think even just in this past week, I was hanging out with my sons and we were at the park. And there's something about my boys, and maybe you've experienced even with your kids, where they just start singing praises to the Lord wherever they're at. And there's something inside of me that kind of cringes and goes, wait, whoa, you're supposed to do that at church. Don't do that out here. You're going to embarrass me and I'm going to have to. And there's this check that goes on within. Like, where is this pride starting to creep up from? Where is this ashamed feeling starting to come from? And in the last days, God was going to pour out his spirit, he said, on your sons and your daughters, and they would prophesy. And it calls me to live a life that is unashamed, causes me to move beyond my pride. You see, God wanted to pour out his spirit on all flesh so that we could be witnesses to his goodness. So we could be witnesses and bear the goodness about who he is in this world that so desperately needs to know who he is. And that's what happens in this moment. And there's something within us that says, yes, it's taking place in these last days, but God, would you continue to pour out more? God, would you continue to meet us in fresh and new ways? I know that that's my heart, and I pray that that's yours. God, do something fresh and new in our day. And God is saying, I want to do that. But you see, even as Peter's talking about this universal pouring out of God's Spirit on all flesh, on all people, what we have to come to understand is that it requires something of us. I don't know if we've ever tried to give a gift to someone and they didn't receive it. But that's a hard place to be in. You see, God can pour out his Spirit all that he wants, but there's something within us that has to be willing and able to receive it. You see, Jesus talked about it this way as he's describing the kingdom with some of his disciples. He says, the way this works is God's kingdom is kind of like a farmer who's going to sow some seed. And Jesus starts to explain the different kinds of ground in which his seed was sown in. And he speaks that only it was the last kind of ground. This seed, this soil that had been churned up. The soil that had been broken up, that's soft, that's open, that has space within it, was the only ground that the seed could go in. And it produced fruit. All the other ones were too hard, too rocky, too filled full of weeds to allow God's life to be poured out for the seed to take place. And the same thing is true in our lives. That what Peter was speaking about in this moment was that we need to have our hearts open to receive what God wants to pour out. And so for us this day, we have to ask the question, is there an openness? Are we willing to receive what God wants to pour out? You see, the people in that day, as they heard Peter speak, he shared about Joel, but then he went out and talked about Jesus, not just in the Old Testament, but talked about a New Testament experience. You see, many of these people that were listening were around when Jesus was crucified. It wasn't that long ago. And Peter lets them know this. He says, the man that you crucified has now been risen from the dead and has ascended, and he is pouring out his Spirit on everyone. And Scripture lets us know that the men and women that were there that day asked the question. They were pierced to the heart, Scripture lets us know. And they asked the question, brothers, what must we do with what we've just heard? They didn't ask, what should we do? What should we think about this? They didn't ask, should we take this and kind of ruminate on it? Should we go home and like have a good dinner and talk about it? No, they asked the question, what must we do with what we're hearing? Scripture lets us know what Peter's response was. He says this in verse 38, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and even to the Gentiles, to everyone. This word all, here it is once again, who have been called by God, the Lord our God. And then Peter continued to preach on for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Luke sums up what took place in that moment with this sentence. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Folks, this was not a small gathering of people that came together in that day. 3,000 people accepted the message of Jesus. So we know that there are people out there who didn't. On that day, in that moment, there are many names that it's been called. Throughout church history, this is the day that's known as the birth of the church. Peter, in this moment, was helping them understand what they need to do with the message that they had received. He said that we need to be people, they need to be people that would repent and be baptized, completely changing their minds about who Jesus is, about their attitude towards him, be baptized in his name. And I know that for many of us, we heard that idea of praying in Jesus' name, and sometimes we do it because we're told to, not even knowing what it means. I appreciate what somebody says about it. He says, to speak in Jesus' name means by his authority, acknowledging his claims, to subscribe to his doctrines, engaging in his service, and relying on him to be the source of life. When we talk about what it means to pray in Jesus' name, those are the things that we're speaking about him. It's about his power, his authority, his majesty. You see, folks, Acts chapter 2 has a huge bearing on how we live our life. That story has huge meaning for us if we're willing to step into it, if we're willing to embrace it. Because when we do, when we allow Acts chapter 2 to speak to us, what ends up happening is that we stop trying to work our way towards God. We stop trying, thinking if we do enough stuff, if we work hard enough, somehow we can make our way to God. Well, we come to realize that we can't. God has to come to us. And that's what we see in this moment. If we allow Acts chapter 2 to speak to us, what we start to realize is that no longer do we have to walk through this life with this question, do I matter? Do I have meaning? Do I have purpose? We don't have to walk around with this question of feeling marginalized, a sense that I don't count because I'm a man, because I'm a woman. I don't count because of the color of my skin. I don't count because of the job that I have. When we encounter Acts chapter 2, what we come to find is that God sees us right where we're at, and he says, you matter. You count. You have value. When we allow Acts chapter 2 to breathe into our lives, what we come to realize is that what took place in that day was not just something for that moment, but in the last days, God will be pouring out his Spirit fresh and anew. And it wasn't just then, but it's happening today. And God still wants to do that in our hearts and our lives in fresh new ways. And if we're willing to be open, if we allow Scripture to speak, then it causes us to move to a place to say, God, would you do something fresh in my heart and my life? Holy Spirit, would you break free in my midst? I talked about last week that for many of us, we've seen on TV how power has been used to destroy, to bring destruction. And so he stepped away from it. Jesus said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, this gift. And many of us have seen how these gifts of the Spirit have been abused. And many of us have been abused by them. And so our conclusion is to write off the gifts. And yet, if we're going to be faithful to the text, what we see is that God is pouring out his Spirit and wants you to be open to receive all that he has in store. You see, the Holy Spirit is essential to our lives. We can't move, we can't breathe spiritually without the Spirit working within us. He is our power source. He is the one that moves through us. He is our life. Someone said it this way: without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship would be inconceivable, even impossible. There can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the Spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. We have to be in a place in which we're open to the Spirit of God moving within us, with the life of Christ being lived through us, moving through us. And so today, as we prepare to close, the question that these men and women asked on that day seems so appropriate for us to ask in this moment. Brothers, sisters, what must we do with what we've heard? What must we do with what we've heard? Not do we just go home and have a good conversation about it, but what must we do? For some of us this morning, we need to listen to the words of Peter. He says, repent, turn your heart towards God. You've been living far away from him. You've tried to create your own story and it's not working out. You're trying to create your own life and it's not working. Turn your heart to God. Repent. For some of us, you've never been baptized. And today, God is telling you, follow Jesus in baptism. For you, you'll take out that connection card. Some of you, you've passed it up so many times. You look at it, you put it away, but this morning, you're going to take that connection card and check, I want to be baptized. Some of you, as you say yes to Jesus, as you repent this morning, your next step will say, I choose to be baptized. For some of us in this place, we haven't dreamed in a long time. For some of us, we haven't opened up ourselves to the visions of God in a long time. Prophecy, we have allowed ourselves to become quiet. And the step for us this morning is to say, oh, Spirit of God, fall fresh on me. Speak to my heart once again. Stir in my life once again. I want to move with you. Some of us simply need to be bold. And as Peter did on that day, to bear witness to what all God is doing in our hearts and our lives. What must we do with this message that God is speaking to us through the book of Acts? That's the question that I have for us this morning. Would you stand with me? We're going to prepare to pray and close. I'm going to pray specifically for some of us in this place that don't know Jesus. And for you, as I pray, would you join me in that prayer to receive Jesus into your heart, into your life? I'm going to pray for some of us in this place that God would meet us in profound and fresh and new ways, even on this Father's Day, that maybe, just maybe, there's a better story that we can hold on to. Jesus, we come before you this morning with awe this morning for who you are, for what you did in that day, and what you want to do in this moment. God, you see our hearts and you see that for some of us, if we're far away from you, that's the only way we can talk about it. Our hearts have been hard. And in this moment, we're asking Holy Spirit, rototill, churn up the soil of our hearts, that we might be like that soil that we could receive you, receive your life. And even in this moment, we say, Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Be my Lord, my Savior. Be my God. I'm done trying to make it work. I'm done trying to make my way to you. I give up. Be God of my life. God, we pray that the freshness of your Spirit would wash over us. Give us dreams. Give us visions. Lord, open up our mouth to speak the truth of who you are in this day and age, to proclaim your goodness, that people may know that you are a God who loves them, that you are a God who is drawing people to yourself. God, we open up ourselves to you. May you have your way in our hearts and in our lives. We trust you for it. We thank you for it. In this moment, tomorrow, and each day, God, we want to be open to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, isn't God good? Amen. You know, I want to encourage us, get into the book of Acts. We're going to be continuing next week. I stood in that place, Mario, you just talked about the sermon that Peter preached, stood in that exact place. Many of you have. We'll be talking about that next week. Something happened that was incredible amongst that body of believers there. Yeah. It was incredible. We're going to unpack that more next week. And then incredible God things began to happen and follow their life.
And can I offer one thing? Yeah. You may have heard in that announcement video for just a moment that there was an opportunity to learn more. For some of us, that step of stepping into what the Spirit might be doing, I know is hard for us. And so we want to create an opportunity for you to learn more. And so throughout the summer, there's a gentleman who said, you know what, I'd love to just take time to come, and I'll spend 10, 15 minutes to share about some key principles about who the Holy Spirit is, and we can have a dialogue, conversation. After your questions are answered, if you want to go, feel free. But if you want to stay and pray and pray to allow this very thing that took place, the speaking in tongues, the speaking in other languages, the releasing of the Spirit that take place, he would love to pray with you. July 12th is the first one at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you be a part. It happened then in that moment that you got to experience,
exactly.
And it's happening today.
You can just imagine when God's power and Spirit falls amongst a group of people, not just here, but we've been talking about this village in Africa where there are presently 6 believers. What happens then? It's really exciting. We'll be talking more about next week. We're going to be... Thank you for staying over. I know we've gone late. We've kind of all day. Thanks for hanging in there. But guys, as you leave, it is Father's Day, and so we have a gift for you, and it's in this bag. Now... You're wondering what, you know what's in the bag, don't you? So, you know, we've given out candy bars, you know, and like stuff like that. Like we gave out big hunk candy bars. It's kind of awesome.
We stayed away from the sugar daddies.
Yeah, no sugar daddies at all.
We didn't give out no sugar daddies at all.
So, but this is something we have never done before. We've never given this out before, ever. We may never do it again, but there we go right there. So go ahead and pull that out right there,
because
in this bag for dads now, it's the best beef jerky you've ever had in your life. I promise you, it's excellent. And we sent, give me that. We sent a team.
That's
mine.
That's lunchtime, man.
We sent a team member literally now on Friday across the mountains over to Clealum, right there. Ladies, you stay away from this. So this is for guys only. So it's out there for you. So God bless you. Hey, see, Book of Acts. Next week, start reading. We're just on chapter 3, so you can jump in there. It's 28 chapters. Let's just let Jesus... I just encourage you, don't read it as a historical book. Don't read it as a historical book. Read it asking Jesus what he wants to do in your life. Amen? See you next week. God bless you. Guys, get your jerky.